Now, thank you so much for beautiful song and worship team. Thank you for sharing with us, leading us in worship. Good to see you today as we come together. The song that Donna sang is a song about a woman coming to express her love because of the sheer forgiveness that she had experienced in Christ. And she does so by the outpouring of the fragrance and the washing of his feet with her hair. There's another story, two women coming from two different places. It's incredible. So I'm going to take the other story, and we'll have these two stories to see two women coming to Jesus to express their love. So if you'd like to turn with me, please, to Mark chapter 14. We'll begin reading at verse 1. The story happens just within days of the oncoming crucifixion of Jesus. Now the Passover and the festival of the unleavened bread were only 2 days away, and the chief priests and the teachers of the law were scheming to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or the people may riot. While he was in Bethany, reclining at the table in the home of Simon the leper, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume made of pure nard. She broke the jar and poured the perfume on his head. Some of those present were saying indignantly to one another, "Why this waste of perfume? It could have been sold for more than a year's wages and the money given to the poor." And they rebuked her harshly. "Leave her alone," said Jesus. "Why are you bothering her? She's done a beautiful thing to me. The poor you will always have with you, and you can help them anytime you want. But you will not always have me." She did what she could. She poured perfume on my body beforehand to prepare for my burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the gospel is preached throughout the world, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priests to betray Jesus to them. They were delighted to hear and promised to give him money. So he watched for an opportunity to hand him over. Let me lead us, please, as we pray. Our Father, these are the kinds of stories that in the shadow of the cross, we see so many beautiful things happening. We see so many hard things happening. We see so many things that are not even understood by the disciples happening. We see all kinds of things in motion, all kinds of movement of forces. And we revisit this story today, or these two stories, and we thank you for the sheer act of love in which they are carried out. And it is our prayer today that we will have that kind of radical generosity with our walk in Christ. For this is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. I know certainly it must have been an amazing day when Jesus showed up. Perhaps there was a dinner invitation. And guests knew that Jesus would be among them. And I suspect that they were probably coming to celebrate, perhaps in this case, some of the more recent miracles that Jesus had performed. Or perhaps even maybe the fact that Lazarus had not too far back been raised from the dead. And perhaps this was a celebration dinner. And so guests were coming to eat. And I would imagine there was a lot of fellowship in the air. There was a lot of sense of we are so glad that we can be together. This is like family together. This is reunion together. We get to see each other. The kids are playing together. Food is going to be spectacular. This is going to be a grand event. And amidst all of that emotion and planning that went into this dinner, and people arriving, and people catching up with each other and telling their stories, and if Lazarus was in that mix, I can just imagine everybody just huddling around to say, what was that like? That was absolutely unbelievable. We saw this with our own eyes. Jesus was just way too late. And yet he called forth your name and you responded. What was that like? But in all of that crowd, in all of that family celebration, in all of that good feeling, in all of the aroma of a meal that was going to be absolutely one that you want to write home about and put on Facebook and say, this was the best meal ever. Amidst all of that, somebody was thinking slightly different. And perhaps while that good food was in the final preparations and being served, and guests had reclined as they generally did, this one person was just seeing life a little differently than what everybody else was. Maybe she just goes to her room, goes through her drawers, or maybe in a place where she has put this particular vial of perfume, of an ointment that came actually from India and was exceptionally expensive. I could imagine her going to that and putting her hands around this. And I don't know, maybe her mother gave it to her. Maybe her father gave it to her after a long trip. Or maybe it was passed down from grandparents. Who knows? But whatever the backstory was, she held it in her hand. And I am sure that as she held it in her hand, she may have recalled words like, honey, this heirloom is now yours. It comes from a distant land. It has meant a lot to this family. You're not the only hands to have ever held it. And so now it is entrusted into your care. And you will decide what to do with it. Perhaps you will pass it down to your daughter. Perhaps there will be an occasion. Perhaps there will be a moment in your life in which you will use it. And I can also hear a voice in her past probably saying, sweetie, remember, this might be all the inheritance you'll ever get. Might be all wrapped up in this one perfume bottle, in this one box. It's everything we have to pass down to you. When you use it, if you use it, make sure that you count every drop. It's almost as if every drop is money. So just be aware of what you have. I could imagine the table conversation. I can imagine her making her way. and starting to reach out and grab that jar. It had a long neck to it. And I would imagine that she had already thought about this. And she picked it up, and as she began to walk through a room or two to where Jesus and guests were, I imagine hundreds of stories, family stories, flooded her mind. I imagine when she appeared among all of the guests and they saw what she had in her hand, at first they thought, well, this is really not all that unusual. She's simply going to put a drop of perfume on each of our heads, which was in that day customary, that if a guest came to your house, a drop of perfume or oil or an ointment would be applied to them as a gesture of hospitality and refreshment. And maybe they thought, well, what a beautiful thing. She's going to go around to every guest, and we are all going to have a drop of this beautiful, expensive ointment that she has. But she makes her way to Jesus. And I can only imagine the thought in her mind as she decided to break the neck of that jar flask and unleash its total and full contents on the head of Jesus. All of the stories she'd ever been told about this particular oil, all of the hands through whom that oil may have gone through, all that this had meant to her day after day in her room as she got up and perhaps had that particular jar of perfume or oil where she could always see it and be reminded of the gift that she had been given. But she knew that the very moment that the neck of that jar was broken, that everything in it would be expelled, and she walks right up to Jesus and breaks it and begins to not just put one drop on his head or several, she pours the entire content on his head. It had to be a moment that nobody had ever seen before. It had to be in a kind of experience that no one was really anticipating. And it didn't take long for people to begin to weigh in. Why would you do that? Look at what you could have done with this, the value of that. You could have actually gone out in the streets and fed the poor with it. You could have done a lot of ministry with the value that you just poured on Jesus. And Jesus, knowing of the criticism, stopped it immediately and commended her for understanding what no one else understood. That he was on his way to Calvary. And even among his disciples, even among his closest friends or associates or people who just traveled along the roads with him, nobody, not a single person, nobody thought to anoint him for his upcoming death. It was just off the radar of everybody else. One person that we know of, one person was able to plan for, prepare for. One person heard the Jesus stories of things like, come and take up your cross and follow me, or when I get to Jerusalem. One person said, we have got to anoint him for this incredible calling and task. And so she anoints him. And everything of value, as far as we know, that she owned, and perhaps her entire inheritance, was put on Jesus in a moment of time. So I just would like to take her story just for a moment and draw out one simple truth, one simple thing about how the kingdom of God works. Because she was the one who got it. It had been a long time since somebody got it like she did. Maybe it was all the way back to John the Baptist. I don't know. But she got this. And here's the one truth that comes screeching to me out of her story. In the kingdom of God, when it breaks, when something breaks, it pours. In other words, it is in this kingdom of God story, a story in which when you get to the breaking point, when something breaks, perhaps it could be when our pride breaks, when my pride, when my arrogance breaks, when my self-trust breaks, when my confidence in myself breaks, when my plan breaks, when my agenda breaks, whatever it is that comes to the breaking point and it is about to be broken and my life begins to pour out, that there is good news in that very moment, because it is in the very breaking point that heaven can finally rush in and do what heaven only can do. But what an oddity of the kingdom. What a strange thing about this kingdom of God. It is in a crucifixion moment that heaven breaks through like it never breaks through before. It is when there is brokenness that the kingdom of God and the king show up in ways that we would have never seen, nor planned, nor anticipated, nor thought could ever happen. And sometimes it is the hardest experience of life. We bring to Jesus what we have. And here's where we could really do it right. As we make our way to Christ and as we continue to follow him in discipleship, what an incredible thing it would be for her to lead us and we just offer to him, look, here are the things in my life of value. I break them. I bring them and break them before you so that heaven could rush through it. I think everybody in this place knows that the longer and the harder you try to hold on to the things of this earth, the more you lose them. The more you think you have a grasp, the more they get away from you. The more you think, I'll just hold on tighter. I want this more. I want this better. This will help me. I'll be a greater success. I'll have more fulfillment. The more you think, the more we think, those things in our hands, if we just protect them, if we just hide them away in the room, if we just put them in the drawer that no one would ever look in, if we just put them in a safe, secure place, then we will have a better life. Here is the news of the kingdom of God. It is those very things that are most precious to us. It is the very things that we count on the most. It is the very things that are the closest to us that when we bring them to the living Lord and we offer them and they are broken, and in that moment of brokenness, we may say, it is broken. And in that same moment, as if there were even time for a moment or a breath to pass by, in that very moment, heaven comes down. And that which we could never grasp, that which we are not capable of holding, that which we cannot control, that which is beyond our means, flows through our hands and blesses the world. So there are two ways to come to this, every one of us. You can choose to live your life with a clenched fist, holding on tightly and dearly to all of the things or all of the people that you cannot even imagine releasing. Or you can live in the kingdom of God with an open hand, saying to God, God, I'm not going to hold to anything. I can't even hold my loved ones. They are your people. You have made them. You've entrusted. I get the pleasure of sharing life with them, but they are yours. The stuff I have, not my stuff. The more I try to make it my stuff, the more of a burden it is to me. You just use that in any way that blesses people. Could you imagine what it would look like for a simple group of people who follow Jesus Christ to simply come to Jesus as this woman did? And with all of the things that we all hold dear, the things that we have treasured here and there and about, all the securities that we think we have placed in our life, all of the things that we feel certain will give us a future, would it not be an incredible experience of the movement of God's Spirit in this place if people just came to Jesus Christ and said to Him, we open our hands and divest ourselves of everything. It is all yours. Bless the world with it. Bless my neighbor with it. Bless my family with it. Bless co-workers with it. Bless however it can be blessed, and let it flow through me. And when we come to Christ and we break that which we're holding on to, it is an absolute unbelievable journey of an endless flow of the goodness and the grace of God flowing through us and blessing a world, and people begin to see Christ in ways they've never seen Him before, because we anoint, and it sounds backwards, we anoint what He is doing. We always ask Him to anoint us, and I thank God we do. Imagine a people who come to Him and say, we anoint you back. We anoint you back. That's pretty radical generosity, isn't it? And just imagine us being that kind of church family. You're already a very generous church family. Your generosity flows through you in hundreds and hundreds of ways. Together, we are already on the path of experiencing God's generosity in ways, and I see it in this church family. And I have a hunch that our story at Ivy will be a story of continued generosity, but along with that, a story in which for heaven's generosity to flow through us, there will be times and days and seasons of broken, of breaking. Because if we try to hold on to it, heaven can stop the presses. If we ever think it was ever ours, heaven can go somewhere else. But the moment that we know everything, everything, from the top of the steeple to the deepest part of our foundation, from east side to west side, from corner to corner, from heart to heart, from soul to soul, from life to life. There's not one second, there's not one breath, there's not one thing that you can grasp onto. It was all and is all a gift from God. And as soon as we are broken of our own attempts to grasp things and just say, Lord, take these things, use these things, bless these things. There is no telling what the kingdom will do. And just like her story, the story of Ivy, let not your heart be troubled. The story of Ivy in the season of brokenness is the story that will be told through the ages, just like hers. Because heaven loves it when things are offered to Jesus as an act of sacrifice and they are broken and heaven shows up and blesses the world through brokenness. What a testimony to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine what a church looks like, what we look like. Broken. Spilled out. And in the very next moment, heaven rushes in. We'll never be the same. The story will never cease. And we have no way in all the earth to know where we go from here when heaven shows up like that. I'm going to ask you, if you would, please to stand with me. And I'm going to pray. After I pray, I'm going to invite you to respond. Perhaps your prayer is simple right where you are today. And you feel like that the Spirit of God is just asking you to present something from your life. I'm sure we all have our own treasures. And perhaps it is a moment in which God is calling you to just present yours and let it be broken and lavished on Him. And I know that's not an easy thing to do. But trust heaven. Trust heaven. Trust God. See what He will do. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that this woman stands out as far as we know, perhaps the only one who understood that by her bringing her gift, her bringing that perfume, her bringing the most precious thing that she owned, she was the only one who acted in such a way as to prepare You for the death that was to come. She was the only one who came and presented her very best from her very heart. She was the only one who opened her hand and the kingdom of God showed up. She was the only one who in fact anointed Jesus before He made His way to Calvary. So Father, we'll follow her. She will lead us. That jar, that box, that perfume will move ahead of us and we will seek to do as she has done. And unleashing everything, we long to see what it looks like when heaven reorders everything. So we come. As we sing, I'm going to invite you to come. Your prayer may be simple. You may wish to come and kneel or pray at the altar. As you hear God's Spirit, you may wish to come, and I'm happy to be available for you. Maybe today is your broken point, your first broken point, as you come to know Jesus Christ, and He makes you whole in your very coming. I would love to have the opportunity to pray with you and introduce you to Jesus, who is our Lord and Savior. Let's sing. You come on right now.